Okay, we're continuing. So, please turn in your Bibles to Leviticus chapter 13. Leviticus 13. Leviticus 13. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and to Aaron, saying, When a man has on the skin of his body a swelling or a scab or a bright spot, and it becomes an infection of leprosy on the skin of his body, then he shall be brought to Aaron the priest or to one of his sons, the priests. And the priest shall look at the mark on the skin of the body. And if the hair in the infection is turned white, and the infection appears to be deeper than the skin of his body, it is an infection of leprosy. When the priest has looked at him, he shall pronounce him unclean. But if the bright spot is white on the skin of his body, and it does not appear to be deeper than the skin, and the hair on it is not turned white, then the priest shall isolate him who has the infection for 7 days. And the priest shall look at him on the 7th day, and if in his eyes the infection is not changed, and the infection is not spread on the skin, then the priest shall isolate him for 7 more days. And the priest shall look at him again on the 7th day. And if the infection is faded and the mark is not spread on the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him clean. It is only a scab. And he shall wash his clothes and be clean. But if the scab spreads farther on the skin, after he has shown himself to the priest for his cleansing, he shall appear again to the priest. And the priest shall look, and if the scab is spread on the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is leprosy. When the infection of leprosy is on a man, then he shall be brought to the priest. The priest shall then look, and if there is a white swelling in the skin, and it has turned the hair white, and there is quick, raw flesh in the swelling, it is a chronic leprosy on the skin of his body. And the priest shall pronounce him unclean. He shall not isolate him, for he is unclean. And if the leprosy breaks out farther on the skin, and the leprosy covers all the skin of him who has the infection, from his head even to his feet, as far as the priest can see, then the priest shall look, and behold, if the leprosy has covered all his body, he shall pronounce clean him who has the infection. It is all turned white, and he is clean. But whenever raw flesh appears on him, he shall be unclean, and the priest shall look at the raw flesh, and he shall pronounce him unclean. The raw flesh is unclean. It is leprosy. Or if the raw flesh turns again and is changed to white, then he shall come to the priest, and the priest shall look at him, and behold, if the infection is turned to white, then the priest shall pronounce clean him who has the infection. He is clean. And when the body has a boil on its skin, and it is healed, and in the place of the boil there is a white swelling or a reddish-white bright spot, then it shall be shown to the priest. And the priest shall look, and behold, if it appears to be lower than the skin, and the hair on it has turned white, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is the infection of leprosy. It is broken out in the boil. But if the priest looks at it, and behold, there are no white hairs in it, and it is not lower than the skin, and it is faded, then the priest shall isolate him for 7 days. And if it spreads farther on the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is an infection. But if the bright spot remains in its place and does not spread, it is only the scar of the boil, and the priest shall pronounce him clean. Or if the body sustains in its skin a burn by fire, and the raw flesh of the burn becomes a bright spot, reddish-white or white, then the priest shall look at it. And if the hair in the bright spot is turned white, and it appears to be deeper than the skin, it is leprosy. It is broken out in the burn. Therefore the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is an infection of leprosy. But if the priest looks at it, and indeed there is no white hair in the bright spot, and it is no deeper than the skin, but is dim, then the priest shall isolate him for 7 days. And the priest shall look at him on the 7th day. If it spreads farther in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is an infection of leprosy. But if the bright spot remains in its place and is not spread in the skin, but is dim, it is the swelling from the burn. And the priest shall pronounce him clean, for it is only the scar of the burn. Now, if a man or a woman has an infection on the head or on the beard, then the priest shall look at the infection. And if it appears to be deeper than the skin and there is thin yellowish hair in it, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a scale. It is leprosy of the head or of the beard. But if the priest looks at the infection of the scale, and indeed it appears to be no deeper than the skin, and there is no black hair in it, then the priest shall isolate the person with the scaly infection for 7 days. And on the seventh day, the priest shall look at the infection. And if the scale has not spread, and no yellowish hair has grown in it, and the appearance of the scale is no deeper than the skin, then he shall shave himself, but he shall not shave the scale. And the priest shall isolate the person with the scale 7 more days. Then on the seventh day, the priest shall look at the scale. And if the scale is not spread in the skin, and it appears to be no deeper than the skin, the priest shall pronounce him clean, and he shall wash his clothes and be clean. But if the scale spreads farther in the skin after his cleansing, then the priest shall look at him. And if the scale has spread in the skin, the priest need not seek for the yellowish hair. He is unclean. If in his sight the scale has remained, however, and black hair has grown in it, the scale has healed. He is clean, and the priest shall pronounce him clean. And when a man or a woman has bright spots on the skin of the body, even white bright spots, then the priest shall look. And if the bright spots on the skin of their bodies are faint white, it is eczema that has broken out on the skin. He is clean. Now if a man loses the hair of his head, he is bald. He is clean. And if his head becomes bald at the front and sides, he is bald on the forehead. He is clean. But if on the bald head or the bald forehead there occurs a reddish-white infection, it is leprosy breaking out on his bald head or on his bald forehead. Then the priest shall look at him. And if the swelling of the infection is reddish-white on his bald head or on his bald forehead, like the appearance of leprosy in the skin of the body, he is a leprous man. He is unclean. The priest shall surely pronounce him unclean. His infection is on his head. As for the leper who has the infection, his clothes shall be torn, and the hair of his head shall be uncovered. And he shall cover his mustache and cry, "Unclean, unclean." He shall remain unclean all the days during which he has the infection. He is unclean. He shall live alone, and his dwelling shall be outside the camp. When a garment has a mark of leprosy in it, whether it is a wool garment or a linen garment, whether in the warp or woof of linen or of wool, whether in leather or in any article made of leather, if the mark is greenish or reddish in the garment or in the leather or in the warp or in the woof or in any article of leather, it is a leprous mark and shall be shown to the priest. Then the priest shall look at the mark and shall quarantine the article with the mark for 7 days. He shall then look at the mark on the seventh day. If the mark is spread in the garment, whether in the warp or in the woof or in the leather, whatever the purpose for which the leather is used, the mark is a leprous malignancy. It is unclean. So he shall burn the garment, whether the warp or the woof, in wool or in linen, or any article of leather in which the mark occurs, for it is a leprous malignancy. It shall be burned in the fire. But if the priest shall look, and indeed the mark is not spread in the garment, either in the warp or in the woof or in any article of leather, then the priest shall order them to wash the thing in which the mark occurs, and he shall quarantine it for 7 more days. After the article with the mark has been washed, the priest shall again look. And if the mark has not changed its appearance, even though the mark is not spread, it is unclean. You shall burn it in the fire, whether in eating away has produced bareness on the top of it or on the front of it. Then if the priest shall look, and if the mark has faded after it has been washed, then he shall tear it out of the garment or out of the leather, whether from the warp or from the woof, and if it appears again in the garment, whether in the warp or in the woof, or in any article of leather, it is an outbreak. The article with the mark shall be burned in the fire. And the garment, whether the warp or the woof, or any article of leather from which the mark has departed when you washed it, it shall then be washed a second time and shall be clean. This is the law for the mark of leprosy in a garment of wool or linen, whether in the warp or in the woof or in any article of leather, for pronouncing it clean or unclean. Thus reads God's word. Leviticus 13:2. When a man has on the skin of his body a swelling or a scab or a bright spot, and it becomes an infection of leprosy on the skin of his body, then he shall be brought to Aaron the priest, or to one of his sons, the priests. This past week was our national celebration of Thanksgiving, a day that is often filled with family and food and football. However, its origins hasten back to a time when people were sincerely thankful for the saving grace of God in the very provision of the food and shelter that kept them from dying. It is traditionally traced from the Pilgrims of Plymouth, although every group of settlers in this country, from the Spanish in Florida to the Virginia and Carolina colonies, all document that when finally landing in the New World, celebrations unto God for His providential hand upon them were held to express their communal gratitude. Wikipedia states the following in the progression of this country's Thanksgiving. As President of the United States, George Washington proclaimed the first nationwide Thanksgiving celebration in America, marking November 26, 1789, as a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many and signal favors of Almighty God. This was after the war for independence had been won and the nation's government had been established. The nation as a whole gave God the thanks that he deserved. The next focal point in the progress of the National Day of Thanksgiving was when Abraham Lincoln proclaimed the last Thursday of November as the countrywide day of commemoration and giving God thanks for his divine hand upon this land. This was during the Civil War and would not be fully joined in celebration by the whole nation until that war was finally concluded. The key point, however, was that even in the midst of the conflict, Lincoln felt that the Lord was to be thanked by all the people. The nation needed to acknowledge that despite every hardship and difficulty, God deserved to be given honor and gratitude. It was Franklin Roosevelt who signed the congressional resolution, which moved the National Day of Giving Thanks to the Lord to the fourth Thursday of November on a yearly basis. And this was immediately following our entry into World War II. Again, it was in a time of conflict, calling upon the nation to give God thanks for the manner in which He graced this nation with His providential protection and keeping. The reason for this mini history lesson is to show that the basis for thanksgiving unto God resides even in the passages of this morning's reading. God is to be thanked for the way in which He provides for His people, no matter what the circumstances or the situation. Whether the events surrounding them are large, as in wars, or small, God makes every provision for His grace and His keeping and His mercy and His love to abound to those who belong to Him. This was in full evidence from the very beginning of His dealing with His people, as we discover in this passages. As well, in dealing with the Scripture, it is not always necessary to read anything into it beyond what is before us. Sometimes, in the words and realities of the Word, there are aspects that can be dealt with in spiritual connotations which far transcend the mere verbiage at hand. At other times, The passages of Scripture simply describe what God was doing at that time with that person or people, without any great need of intensive explanation or search for some greater meaning. Such may well be the case with this morning's reading, as it shows just how marvelous is the grace of God's hand upon His people. This is evident in His giving them direction as to how to deal with illnesses that could have decimated entire communities. When a man has on the skin of his body a swelling or a scab or a bright spot, and it becomes an infection of leprosy on the skin of his body, then he shall be brought to Aaron the priest or to one of his sons, the priests. This was the Lord's manner of keeping His people safe from the various communicable diseases which ravished the communities of the pre-medicinal ancient world. No other civilization had the type of quarantine restriction that God placed upon the people and the garments that they wore. Only the children of Israel were so distinguished in the way in which they had to go to the priest and to be inspected when they had such marks of leprosy upon them or upon their clothing. The usual reading assumes that the Lord is dealing with what we now know as Hansen's disease, or the leprosy that's associated with leper colonies. But while the Bible does give reference to Hansen's disease, the terminology of this passage deals more specifically with those diseases that we know as smallpox and chickenpox and measles and scarlet fever, those communicable diseases which were characterized by severe skin rashes. These would have decimated the homes and the community if the individual was not isolated or kept away from the general populace as ordered by the Lord through His priests. This was the only means available at the time to keep the whole community safeguarded from the onslaught of such swiftly spreading illnesses. The mark of leprosy on the garments was mold and mildew and fungus that could create havoc within a household, both hygienically as well as financially, since clothing was difficult to obtain and needed to be tended to with care. The fact that clothing made of linen and wool could be easily subject to mold and mildew and fungus if left in a dampened condition made it a frequent task within the home to air them out and make sure that they were properly dried after washing. This was in order to avoid all the necessary inspection of the priests and the ritualistic dealings with those marks of leprosy. Again, God's provision for His people was through the priestly order, since they were the ones who stood before the people as God's representatives. They had the responsibility of placing themselves between the people and God, and of putting their health on the line in dealing with the infectious elements that could ravish the whole populace. They were God's ordained instruments to make sure that His people were as protected and shielded as they could be from those things which cause such detriment to the rest of the nations surrounding them. For that provision, God is to be thanked with all our hearts, because it shows that He cares for His own in a way that manifests His full covering over them to the nth degree. Because of this great charge to guard His people, there was very much that the Lord expected of the priests, as well as the people's estimation of the priestly order, as we read in Deuteronomy 17, 8 through 10. They were the ones who would deal with anything that was not easily handled between the people themselves. Deuteronomy 17, 8 through 10. If any case is too difficult for you to decide between one kind of homicide or another, between one kind of lawsuit or another, and between one kind of assault or another, being cases of dispute in your courts, then you shall arise and go up to the place which the Lord your God chooses. So you shall come to the Levitical priest, or the judge who is in office in those days, and you shall inquire of them, and they will declare to you the verdict in the case. And you shall do according to the terms of the verdict which they declare to you from the place which the Lord chooses. And you shall be careful to observe according to all that they teach you. The people were instructed to listen to the priests and to abide by their decisions, as we read in Deuteronomy 24:8. They were to obey the priests in all that they decided and taught, because the priests were to do so from the trueness of their hearts unto the Lord, to guard and to protect and to keep His people safe from harm, even from each other. Deuteronomy 24:8. Be careful against an infection of leprosy, that you diligently observe and do according to all that the Levitical priests shall teach you. As I have commanded them, so you shall be careful to do. Their decisions carried the weight of the Lord within the minds and the actions and the attitudes of the people. Sadly, despite all the warnings of the Lord, the priests were corrupted with the attitude of self-importance and self-elevation over the rest of the people. As we read in Malachi 2, 4 through 8, they allowed their place of service to the Lord and service to the people to be perverted into thinking that they were to be served by the people, thus making their position one of exclusiveness rather than as shepherding and caring for the people. Malachi 2, 4 through 8. Then you will know that I have sent this commandment to you, that my commandment may continue with Levi, says the Lord of hosts. My covenant with him was one of life and peace, and I gave them to him as an object of reverence. So he revered me and stood in awe of my name. True instruction was in his mouth, and unrighteousness was not found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness, and he turned many back from iniquity. For the lips of a priest should preserve knowledge, and men should seek instruction from his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But as for you, you have turned aside from the way. You have caused many to stumble by the instruction. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. Despite this abrogation of their duties, the priestly order was still the means by which the health of the nation was protected during the days before medical advancements were established. The Lord Jesus, when He walked on this earth, still gave them the due that God had bestowed upon them by sending those whom He healed to the priests for their required examination. He did not just dismiss them, but allowed them the place of service to which they were chosen. This is recorded for us in the healing of the man who did have Hansen's disease in Luke 5, 12 through 14. Please turn to it so we can read it together. Luke chapter 5. verses 12 through 14. Luke 5. And it came about that while he was in one of the cities, behold, there was a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and implored him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And he stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately the leprosy left him, and he ordered him to tell no one. But go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, just as Moses commanded, for a testimony to them. Notice that Jesus instructed the healed man to go to the priest for their inspection of his body as a testimony to them of the cleansing and healing work of God. They were not to be ignored, but to be given the opportunity for their due service as the representatives of God's providential hand upon his people. Without the priest's blessing, this healed man would not be allowed to re-enter the society from which he had been banished, again, for the protection of the whole population. Then in Luke 17, 12 through 16, we can read together of the healing of the 10 leprous men by Jesus. Again, he directed them to go to the priest in order to be declared clean and then enabled to return to their respective communities. Luke chapter 17, verses 12 through 16. And as he entered a certain village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him, and they raised their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, Go and show yourselves to the priests. And it came about that as they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan. What we need to recognize in this passage is what brings us back to our opening remarks concerning thanksgiving and the manner in which we should always give God all expressions of gratitude for his marvelous hand of mercy and grace and love upon us. We should ever be like that Samaritan who was healed from such a vile and stigmatizing illness. He alone turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. He recognized and he offered thanksgiving to the one who had healed him, thus giving God all the glory and the praise and the adoration. As a nation, as the church of God, as a family, and as individual believers, it is incumbent upon us to so offer God our sincerest and heartfelt thanks for the fact that he has saved us unto himself. If we truly consider where the Lord has manifested his sovereign and profound and omniscient and omnipotent work of his so great love upon us, nationally and personally, we will have to acknowledge that he has mightily and gloriously blessed us every single day. He is at work bringing forth his providential blessings upon us, and we need to give him the credit and the praise and the gratitude that he alone deserves. It is our rightful honor to so declare our thankfulness unto God for who He is and what He has done. Let that praise of thanksgiving resound not just one day a year, but every moment of every day from hearts that are truly grateful unto the Lord. So be it. When a man has on the skin of his body a swelling or a scab or a bright spot, and it becomes an infection of leprosy on the skin of his body, then he shall be brought to Aaron the priest, or to one of his sons, the priests. Amen.